Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Wings with a shootout win on the road in Edmonton. Kate Cunningham named All-Star. We've got thoughts on both coming up at 7:18 this morning. Stoney is in. We've got a wellness check. Are you over it? Are you over it yet? What happened a couple weekends ago? And Stoney sounds like no.
No, I'm not really over it. I mean, it's going to be easier to enjoy the Super Bowl.
Because of Philly for you.
Because of Philly for
me. Not easier for any of us.
No. But by the way, here's the other thing that really... I mean, I kind of understood it for like the day after, you know, the Sunday, you know, games after the Lions lost on Saturday night. But people who are saying they're not watching football anymore this year, not going to watch the Super Bowl. Come on, really? That to me is...
You know what I think it is?
That's weak.
It's weak. It's pouty.
Yeah.
And I think it's performative because I think you guys damn well know... where you're going to be
right.
A week from Sunday.
Right.
You're going to be at that same party with your friends, and you might not care about the game the same way.
Right.
It might make you feel mad or sad or angry or whatever emotion you're going to feel. But you're going to watch. It's the last football game for 8 months.
Right.
It's a Super Bowl. I think it's performative. Like, I see Dave Portnoy after the Bills-Chiefs spot on the floor.
Right.
I'm never watching football. You're a liar.
Of course.
You're a performative liar.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of... Not all of you, fine. Some of you are going to be principled and not watch the Super Bowl.
Right.
We're going to watch
the same people that are Lions free.
Thank you. 248-539-9797. Ticket Texter says the hardest part of the loss is how SOL it was. Did you get those phone calls that Saturday night?
No. I didn't think it was SOL.
We had maybe one person reference it. This texter, though, brings it up and says it was served up on a silver platter. Coaches looked like rookies. Sadly, these coaches managed to get promoted. It says, like Logan and Jake Paul videotaping themselves failing time after time again, only to gain success. SOL, baby.
Look, I don't want to go and, you know, relitigate the game all the way, but, you know, this narrative out there that, oh, they took this team too lightly. They didn't prepare. That's bullcrap. That's almost as bullcrap as, oh, well, Glenn and, you know, Johnson were taking interviews. That's why they lost. That's bullcrap. They lost the game because they had 5 turnovers, number one. And number two, not to put any, you know, platitudes on this particular player, but the game, especially defensively, ended when Amik Robertson got hurt.
Certainly didn't help, Stoney.
No.
They only had so many bodies to begin with, and then there were periods of that game where Branch and Melifonwu were hurt.
Yes.
And it just...
Look, were there bad coaching decisions? The failure to call timeout?
Yes.
That was late. I mean, yes, there were some things. The third and one thing.
Stoney, three plays that define that game. And clearly it's more than three plays.
Yes.
The third and one on empty, which started the snowball, the pick six, and then not calling a timeout on the fourth down. Because you had a chance to get a stop and get the ball.
I'd throw the JMO in there.
To me, the game was largely over when they didn't get the stop on the fourth down. Yeah. When Campbell basically marched the ball out and spotted it for him by not calling a timeout with 12 guys on the field.
Right.
And yes, JMO then probably cements it with the pick six the very next possession. Or not the pick six, just an interception the very next possession.
Right.
Ticket Texter says, the play? Question mark. Is that what popped up in the shower? Thanks, Stoney. Mm-hmm. Signed, RC Downriver.
The play, yeah.
The play, that's all that popped. Says, wasn't even mad, just disappointed. Injuries dismantled this defense. Let's get back on our feet. Let's chase the Super Bowl. Mike in Washington. Heather, where's Colin at?
Not there. He's not over it yet. We don't talk about it. it's not something we really... Maybe I should go home and just double check on him one more time. He's still not wearing any gear. I have not seen any Lions gear in the house except for my gear, which I have worn a Lions hat. Like when we went out and went sledding with the kids, I wore my Lions hat. But otherwise, no, he's not over it yet. But we just kind of don't talk about it. He'll get there. He'll get over it and be excited, and he'll wear the gear again and gear up for next season. But he's just not there. He's still disappointed.
I wear my Lions scarf.
Oh, you wear a scarf?
Okay, not really, but I got one at the Lions game. So when I'm out walking the dogs or whatever, I'll put it on. And I do have a Lions hat that I haven't worn. I'm more wearing one of my Tigers wool hats because I do have some Eagles stuff. But that I don't think that'll come out till next week.
Let's get to the phones. Let's get to D in Southfield. D, good morning.
Hey, good morning, fellas. How y'all doing?
What's up, D?
Not much, man. The thing that got me the most, why in the heck did they start Montgomery? When they started Montgomery, that gave me a feeling that, wow, man, these coaches are not putting them in position to win the game. When they started Montgomery, that told me they're going right back to this Gibbs and Montgomery thing, and man, you got to run Gibbs and use Gibbs. He's the second best back in the league the way he was playing. Mm-hmm. At that particular point, that gave me a feeling in my gut that we weren't serious like we should have been. We took them too light.
I don't buy that shows that they took them too light. I think it shows in my mind, okay, because I've had this argument with a friend of mine for the past 2 weeks. I think it just shows that, you know what, he's here, he's ready to play. Let's see what he's got early, because if he doesn't have anything, then we're not going to use him. And if you want to go back and re-look at those plays like I have, first play he got 2 or 3 yards, and he had to fight for that. And the next one, I don't think Saquon Barkley, Jahmyr Gibbs,
but it's not about
anybody.
It's about the mentality, which is D's point.
Oh, I don't buy that.
D, I'll back you up on this. I don't think it means they overlooked him, but I do think they screwed up starting David Montgomery. Would you take Saquon Barkley off the field? Would you split carries with Saquon?
No, but if
you ride Gibbs, but it's the playoffs for Chris.
But if they were successful doing it the whole season, I would have started it and see what happened. It doesn't make it. And if it didn't work, Gibbs ended up with twice as many carries. He was targeted 11 freaking times out of the backfield. That's 25 times. So it's not that he did nothing.
But we spent all week talking about 30th ranked run defense, and you've got a back who's running like Saquon. Just I don't know. Maybe see what happens if he gets 20 carries. And maybe if it goes back to the third and one where it all kind of comes together. Right. If he's the guy who carries it, does he break another big one? Because he was getting chunks all drive.
Right.
That's early in the game when he's... You know what happened when Montgomery went down? Gibbs got in a rhythm. He actually got more productive when Montgomery went down. And apparently the only people who didn't realize that were the coaches. Who I thought did a great job all season, but that's a fair criticism.
I think it would be a fair criticism if they played him the whole first quarter and sat for two, end up being two plays. I don't think it showed. I think as far as sending a message to this team that this is what we are, we're a tough freaking football team, and we're going to start with our toughest running back, maybe. I don't know.
I've been a big Monty guy this season, And during that game, I was craving more Jahmyr Gibbs.
Yeah.
There were times when Montgomery was in there, and I was like, really would like to see Gibbs in here.
Yeah, okay. I don't disagree with that, but as far as the first series, I don't think it made a difference. That's my thing. And the other thing, I went through this whole play-by-play thing of the game to try to redo it in my mind. And when you sit there and look at the way the game broke down, when did you want him to run Gibbs more? Was it, okay.
Well, specifically the third and one is probably the easiest.
Okay. Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, Montgomery was in, but he didn't. It wouldn't have made a difference. If
correct.
Gibbs was in, they would have.
Yeah. They still would have run the empty set, yeah.
Yes, exactly. Okay. So, like, you look at after the pick six, right? Isn't that when, like, J-Mo had the run? Okay. So you had this, their drives didn't work. I mean, as far as... Because they scored too quick on that one, if you're going to talk about counts. Then the one at the end of the half, well, they should have run him near the other. Oh, you want him to run the ball and maybe he could get loose and settle for a field goal?
How much time was left on the drive when Goff took over before the pick six? My brain says...
Before the pick six, there was...
A couple minutes still? Two plus?
Oh, the pick six was earlier.
Yeah, there was plenty of time. They could have run the ball on that drive.
Yeah, but they
didn't need to be in a hurry. Like, Goff was pressing. I think that's part of the storyline here too, Stoney, is does Goff press as much if you're running the ball more consistently, more effectively, and you do that with Gibbs in the backfield, right? Does Goff have a 4-turnover day? Does the team have a 5-turnover day if you're handing the ball to Jahmyr Gibbs more often? Probably not.
But
because you're making the case that there were situations where they would abandon the run. There's no reason to abandon the run. There's a lot of football left.
But like at the end of the first half when he threw that interception, you didn't want to run the ball there. There was 30 seconds left in the half. You wanted to take shots.
Yes. That doesn't erase Goff's second pick, but does it avoid the pick six?
The pick six, I believe, came after a Gibbs run, if I'm not mistaken.
You may be right. And I think did they lose yards? Was it a second and long?
I'm pretty sure that's correct.
This ticket, I want to read a ticket text. I want to get some phone calls in on this. Ticket texter says, can we quit saying they lost because of 5 turnovers? Yes, they win the game if they didn't do that, but ignoring that they still scored 31 points and the defense gave up 38 and couldn't get off the field, even a below average defense wins that game. The defense was the reason they lost. People still fight about this to the point of, are we over it?
Right.
That ticket texter sounds like someone who doesn't want to criticize Jared Goff. When people tell me the defense lost them the game, true or untrue, it feels like they're trying to defend Jared Goff. Because, guys, we watched other teams that same weekend lose the turnover battle by 2 and 3 and lose. And they had good defenses. Mm-hmm. If you lose by 5 in the turnover battle, even if the Lions brought a good defense to the table, they were going to lose that game. I don't know if the people are just, some aren't willing to criticize Jared Goff. He played his worst game in their biggest game, and we should be saying that. We shouldn't be afraid to acknowledge
that. Okay, here's the answer to your pick six, okay? Washington scored a touchdown. The Lions got the ball, okay, at their own 22.
Yeah.
False start, Laporta. So they start off first and 15 at their own 17. Gibbs right tackle for 1 yard. Second and 14.
He throws the pick.
Pick six. So that's a passing situation. I mean,
yeah, second and 14 is a passing situation.
Yeah.
And he should have just thrown it to Laporta and we don't have to talk about it. You know?
Yeah. Well,
Laporta was open shallow.
Right.
And it was a bad play by Goff. Yeah.
It's
just that's what it comes back to.
And so then they get the ball back. Okay. And first and 10, Bridgewater's in. Okay. Gibbs, false start. First and 15, Gibbs gets 14. Second and 1, Bridgewater to Gibbs. First down. Next play, J-Mo reverse touchdown. So there weren't as many opportunities to run the ball as most people think.
Then let me just tie a bow on it like this. The D's right, because if you ran him early, there are more of those situations.
Well, if they would have gotten the first, if he doesn't, I mean, because the second down play,
I'm talking the first drive of the game.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yes, and then I'm also talking about the drive that they end up with a fumble because of the third and one empty. If Gibbs is involved in more of those plays early, it may have been like Philly, where Saquon Barkley helped build up a 14-3 lead, and now you're not in these positions. I know we're going to live this game
right.
a million times for the rest of our life.
I know.
We have phone calls to get to, ticket text to read. Stoney's question was, are you over it yet? Will you ever be over it? We'll get an update on the Wings and Cade as well. It's 97.1.
Ah. Can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Did Kenny Cal start to say Lions there for a second?
Speaking of not being over it.
Yeah, exactly. He's a huge... huge Lion fan.
Oh, I know. Ken Kelsey loves the Lions.
I know. We all do.
I know. And, you know, we brought up, hey, with you being in today, haven't been on since that Saturday night. Yes. You want to know, hey, are people over this or not? Yeah. We'll take some phone calls and take a text. On the Red Wings front, that's a damn good win.
Really good win.
A come-from-behind win, a shootout win against a very good hockey team in Edmonton. Four in a row for the Wings. More than a month of McClellan, and it's not just a coaching bump.
No, they're playing good. They're playing inspired. Young players are playing well.
Is that where they're the biggest jump has come from, as the young players?
Probably, and the fact the way they're playing as a group, they're forechecking more. They're playing like freer. They're playing to me like they're not afraid to make a mistake.
Yep.
Where before they were so tentative. They were so focused defensively, which I understand because defensively last year they were so bad. So I guess, you know, being beat into their heads, we have to be more responsible defensively, led to them being tentative, which led to poor defense. Now they're faster. They're forechecking better. They're a better team.
You know all that leads to? Puck possession.
Yeah.
If you forecheck, you end up taking the puck away. Mm-hmm. If you're not panicking to get the puck off your stick and get it to somebody else, you take a deep breath. You're confident. You're playing a little loose. You possess the puck. And then your trips in offense aren't one and done.
Correct.
Or you just never get in the ozone. Now they're getting in. They're possessing it. They're creative. They're comfortable. They're confident. And I do think the young players are a huge part of it. Because if you're going to sustain beyond a two-week coaching bump, it's got to be because Raymond is on a superstar trend. That Casper and Johansson, guys that weren't even playing when the season began, are now in featured roles, the first line and in the top four in the case of Johansson. Seider was phenomenal yesterday. Larkin is suddenly playing like a guy who's doesn't have the weight of the world on his shoulders. Right. And I think that's, you can tell that body language beyond just the stat sheet. So, hell, there you go. You win four in a row, and we get to keep talking about this hockey team in the postseason.
It's going
to
be a very interesting month of March around here.
Yep.
Obviously, February, this upcoming week with the NBA trading deadline a week from yesterday, what the Pistons are going to do or not do is going to be very interesting. And then, the Wings, taking the two-week break for the Four Nations, their trading deadline is early March. And once March hits, it's going to be a playoff push for both teams. And it's legitimate playoff push as far as making the playoffs. The problem is, as far as the Pistons go, as much as you want to see them make the playoffs, in the NBA, it's not like hockey. They have no chance to win the NBA championship. Or
probably even win the series, to be honest.
Right. Where the Wings, at least.
You could steal a series if you're hot and maybe you added somebody.
Right.
You got extra gear from one of these young players. With the Pistons, Cade Cunningham makes the All-Star team. Deserved. I was a little nervous he was going to get snubbed. But I love that he's getting the recognition he deserves. LaMelo Ball didn't make it.
Yeah.
Tyrese Maxey, your Philly guy, didn't make it. But they didn't deserve it over Cade Cunningham. Trae Young didn't make it. I thought Cade has had the better season than Trae.
Although I'll give Trae Young credit, and I don't like doing it because I think he's always been a gunner. And the fact of the matter is, from people who I've talked to who are in the league, so to speak, he's like not a good teammate at all. He's kind of shifted that a little bit, but his 11 assists a game is pretty impressive.
Cade is right behind him, right? With just shy of 10. Yeah, yeah. And I think a huge reason Cade's an all-star is, one, his own just personal development. Mm-hmm. He's healthy. He's stronger at the rim. I think the game is slowing down a little. You know what helps slow the game down? Floor spacing.
Yeah.
Malik Beasley, I think, is a huge reason why Cade Cunningham's assist numbers have gone from, you know, 7 to 9, and in some cases 10, 11 in a game. It's why he's had these double-double and triple-double nights.
And they start a 6-game homestand tonight.
So
against the Dallas Mavericks, you know, go down. I'm not going to tell you how you should spend your money, but, you know, this is the time if you're going to support this basketball team. They got to get 4 out of these 6, I think.
I think that's reasonable. Yeah. I think it's so important to get the 6 versus the 7, avoid the play-in. These are the things we'll be talking about with them. Also, the deadline is right around the corner.
That's a week from yesterday.
Beasley's on an expiring, and he had been very honest and public with the fact that him and Langdon have discussed, hey, if a contender comes calling, business is business.
Right.
I just have a hard time giving up a guy who's helped unlock Cade Cunningham for pick 29. Like a late first from a contender. The Pistons have all these seconds. It's what do I need the last pick of the first round for? Pick, you know, 31. I'd rather play Beasley with Cade for the rest of this season, make the playoffs, maybe even get the 6th seed. I'd be interested in maybe even a slight buy. And then pursuing an extension with Beasley in the offseason, because he is super valuable to Cade's development. You should be investing. Clock's ticking. He's on his max. He's an all-star. Every move is about making Cade Cunningham and the Pistons better. Selling for pick 28, 29, 30, I don't know that does that.
Is Malik Beasley the Pistons' Jack Flaherty?
Meaning if they trade him, they'll get Trey Sweeney, make the playoffs, and go on a run?
Well, though, you know, Trey Sweeney's not a great player, but he, you know, he obviously contributed. But, you know, the feeling from some people, especially one person on this station, oh, don't worry, you'll re-sign him back, and, you know, maybe they will with Flaherty, who the hell knows, but they could do that with Beasley as well.
You could.
The only reason you would do the Beasley trade is if you think that you can get enough assets that you can combine that number one with something else to get
a bigger fish.
Get a bigger fish in the offseason. So that's the only reason.
So just that game plan would be, we're going to get a late first. We'll give up our own first by making the playoffs, but we'll use the first we acquire and future first to get a true number two. I could get behind that.
Or whatever trading.
Whatever it takes. Yeah. Ivy's involved in that potentially. Yes. Thinking big picture.
Yeah.
I think you and I are on the same page. Support Cade every way you can. Yeah. Let's get to Heather with the news.
Well, Baltimore Ravens kicker Justin Tucker is in some major hot water. 6 massage therapists have accused him of inappropriate sexual conduct during appointments that took place from 2012 to 2016. There's a law firm representing several of the women that say they all either ended Tucker's massage sessions early or they are just had to refuse to work with him again due to some very, very appalling behavior. Now, Tucker has release a statement. He is saying, whoa, all of these allegations are false. None of this is true. He says he has never been accused of misconduct of any type. And, you know, he's never had any issues with any massage therapist that he has worked with in the past.
Well, so he's every right to defend himself.
Yes, absolutely. Sure. What I'm about to say has nothing whether he's guilty or not. But the question I have, as you said, this took place between 2012 and 2016.
Yes.
What year is this now?
2025.
But I'm not going to tell.
No, I understand that.
You've got to be very careful.
Mm-hmm. I know. But, you know, especially after Deshaun Watson, you think, well, wait a second. Now we do it. You know?
If what is alleged is true, it's gross.
It's gross. Mm-hmm. It's disgusting.
Yes, without a doubt. Also gross and disgusting and horrific in a whole bunch of other words, UFC fighter Bryce Mitchell won't face any disciplinary actions after making some anti-Semitic and homophobic comments on his new podcast. So his comments, which we're not going to play or really, really get into what he said, but he did praise Hitler and he denied the Holocaust. Dana White has since spoken up and condemned Mitchell's comments, called his comments beyond disgusting.
No discipline either.
No, he did cite freedom of expression as a reason why there will be no disciplinary action. All right, so we know that all 67 people on board that U.S. Army helicopter and American Airlines flight were killed in that horrific mid-air collision Wednesday night. Recovery efforts are ongoing. 53 bodies have now been recovered from the Potomac River. Obviously, they are going to continue today as the day moves forward. Mm-hmm. It is still too early to know exactly what caused the crash, but the National Transportation Safety Board says that they're going to leave no stone unturned in this investigation. They have confirmed that the black boxes from the plane have been recovered, and they say that their hope is to have a preliminary report within the next 30 days. Now, the FAA has reported that the control tower staffing at the airport was not normal for that specific time of day and the volume of traffic. They say that there was a controller that had to do double duty directing both airplanes and helicopters in the area. I also read reports that just the day before that flight, that there was another flight that had to actually cancel its landing due to a helicopter being in its flight path. There's a lot to investigate. There's a lot to unpack. So we're not going to have answers anytime soon, and we shouldn't. They should do a big investigation. Yes. Let's not just jump to conclusions. Let's figure out what happened so that it doesn't ever happen again. One quick one. So garage sale season, you know, spring, summertime, find some good deals, right?
Of course.
Yeah. Well, you can also find some really valuable treasures. Listen to this, you guys. There's a guy in Minnesota bought a painting at a garage sale for less than $50. Turns out it was a previously unknown Vincent Van Gogh worth $15 million. Now, this guy kind of knew what he was looking for. It wasn't just, you know, Joe Schmo that was like, I like this painting. It was like an antiques collector. So he saw something in this that he knew was this could be good. And it was, it's been like verified by historians and scientists. It still needs to be given the thumbs up by the Van Gogh Museum in Amsterdam before it can like officially be recognized as authentic, but pretty darn cool.
Wow. It's Heather with the news. Great news if you're that guy.
Yeah.
We got the cookie jar coming up next. End of the hour. Who needs to buy the most? Support Cade. Push for the playoffs in hockey. At Alex Bregman. Which of our teams needs to buy the most? We'll do that end of the hour. Cookie Jar next, 97.1. It's the Cookie Jar, brought to you by Moran Chevrolet, where you always get the best price, period. For those that don't know how this works, we have big opinions on simple questions.
Beautiful. That's one of the things they tell me. You're working on a Friday. All right, cookie jar. Yeah.
Saturday is National Ice Cream for Breakfast Day. Is ice cream an acceptable breakfast?
I'm a huge fan, like most people are, of ice cream. No, it's not. I don't think it's acceptable breakfast at all.
Now, but sugar cereal is? What's the difference?
Well, I know. I this goes back to a discussion, a argument I had with my wife when my daughters were very young, where she wanted to have like pizza for breakfast. Like,
respect.
And we're talking like a 3 or 4 years old.
Who
and
doesn't?
I say, no, it's. And my wife goes, if you had a bagel and put cheese on it, what's the difference?
Who cares if you have the pizza at 8 a.m. or 8 p.m.? You're eating the pizza.
It's the tradition. So I'm going to say no on ice cream.
I'm going to say, heck yes, eat the ice cream for breakfast. When I was a kid, I used to have ice cream and toast for dinner with my grandparents, like every Friday. So I say, what's the difference of having ice cream and toast for dinner or having it for breakfast? You can put you know what would be great? Just sprinkle your cereal on top of it.
It's like milk.
It's like milk, right? Like,
well, they kind of.
What's wrong with that?
You kind of do at those places where you put your own toppings on, if you think about it.
You're right.
When the word acceptable here makes me think of, would repeated behavior be good? And for me, the answer is no. So I'm going to say, no, it's not an acceptable breakfast. Sure, it might happen sometime.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, it's happened this week for me.
Ooh, what kind you have?
There was some Ben and Jerry's that Kelsey didn't want, so I had a little extra. All right, next question. When you go for hibachi, do you eat the food as you go, or are you disciplined enough to wait till the end?
Well,
because they're making it up as you go. There's some rice and then they do the vegetables.
Well, first of all, usually these places, they'll do the soup first.
Yes.
I'm having the soup first.
Of course.
Okay. I eat as I go.
Heather?
I can't remember the last time I've eaten hibachi, but I would probably wait till the end. Like, I think I would wait till my whole meal is together.
Man, you put food in front of me and you tell me wait?
No.
Don't think that's going to work for me, man. I am going to eat as we go.
And I always get excited. If we do hibachi, I like save my appetite for hibachi. I can't hold out. I have to eat as I go. Where do you stand on paper straws?
Not a fan. I mean, it's not going to dissuade me if they only have paper straws, but I'd, you know, call me an anti, you know, green person, you know. I like plastic straws. It's consistency, you know.
Don't even give me a straw if you have paper straws. I would rather drink out of the cup than have a paper straw. I hate paper straws. And I do think it ruins the flavor of your drink. Like, I hate it altogether. Just don't give me straws. Just get rid of all straws. I'd rather have nothing than have paper straws.
You know what else?
I hate them.
You know what else I hate?
What?
When you go get coffee and they don't have, like, Tim Hortons has, like, you have the option of a dome lid, which love. The other lids, first of all, the lid is kind of flimsy. You got to do the thing where you flip it over and it's, I don't understand. What's the downside of a dome lid? Every coffee should be a dome lid.
Dome lid, how are you going to drink that when you spill the coffee or not, when you tip the coffee and it's got to get through the dome and through the top at the end?
It's got a little hole at the top of the lid. What do you
think? I don't know. I'm thinking maybe something different, like the ice cream kind of slurpy thing.
No.
You're thinking of a really big dome lid.
That's what I think when I hear dome lid.
No.
Straws, look, I'm anti-single use plastic. But I would say, Heather, I'm kind of with you where, like, just don't give me a straw. Because I don't want to use the plastic. And then if the paper straw is going to be an ineffective tool, because this is what we're talking about, a useful tool to accomplish a task, then I'll just drink it out of the cup.
Yeah.
And it gets all soggy.
That's what I was going to say. It's a soggy, ineffective. What you should do, if you are concerned about the environment, is you should serve everyone without straws and you can make them available upon request.
Correct.
Or
that
just
would cut down on the straws.
You could get metal straws. Expensive.
Yeah,
but
that's another level. Okay. Would you rather have a free personal trainer or a free personal chef?
I'd rather have a free personal trainer.
Really?
Yeah, because that's the way.
Does it help keep you?
That would help me more than a free personal chef, because I'm not a foo-foo type of eater, and so anything that I eat, you know, it can be. I don't need a chef for.
Give me the chef for sure. I feel like I already know how to work out. I've got some good routines down.
Discipline. You can.
You know how to cook. You don't know how to cook.
I mean, very basic things. I am not a big cook, and I also hate cooking. What I really hate about cooking is the cleanup and the prep time. Like, I don't mind the cooking of it, but I don't want to put everything away and wash all the dishes and the pots and pans. Like, I hate that. Give me the chef.
Yeah, my daughter hates that point, too.
Yeah.
Clearly, this is chef. I'd rather have the personal chef. The best meal to eat is the one you don't make. And when I was sick, turned on the public television, got to watch a few episodes, binge watch of Essential Pepin. Man, all I wanted to do was Jacques Pepin come over and make me a meal. I want a personal chef.
So the argument for the trainer is, in my mind, is they would help keep me regimented and keep me on track, and I'd certainly benefit. But food, the best food prepared the best way for me forever. Give me the free personal chef. Sunday is Groundhog Day. What's one day in your life you'd want to relive over and over again?
Wow.
I know, deep question.
Basic answer would be the birth of my children. That's like the cliche answer. So, although the fact that Dan Leach's father was the person who gave birth to my...
Delivered the babies.
So you better not have given birth.
No. Yeah. I'm going to say my favorite sporting event that I was ever at was when the Flyers beat the Russians. And they were the last salvation to beat the damn commies, and they did. And the Russians walked off the ice, or skated off the ice, in the middle of the game.
This is a super tough question, because there's so many days that were so amazing that I'd love to relive over and over. But then I had questions like, do you remember, or do you know you're reliving them? Do you have...
I think so. Like, in most movies with the premise, you eventually realize, oh, I'm living the same day again.
You know, like, because I was thinking, the birth of my children, right? But do I really want to live
Do you want to give birth every day?
Every single day. I don't think I do. Like that was, twice is good. And then I thought, okay, my wedding day was right. Like the whole day was pretty perfect. And you're with your family and your friends. But then I thought, do I want to go back in time and have the loved ones that are no longer with me and relive those days, like with my grandparents, which I would love to relive those days. So I have no idea. I guess I'll just go with my wedding day
because
the whole day is very safe. It was a great day.
Easter Sunday, 2013. It's March 31st. What happened that day? Me and the woman who had become my wife, Sarah, we went out to my parents, had a great Easter celebration. Easter dinner was fantastic. Michigan blows out Florida to get to the Final Four. And then, yes, we did that later that night.
Ah! Okay, all right. Oh, then.
Wow.
Ayo.
Three elements of a great day right there.
To me, it was honeymoon. You pick a day from the honeymoon. Well, we did Hawaii.
Yeah.
I mean, you get that element in there too,
yes,
Greg.
I did that.
But yeah, we did a boat dinner on a boat with snorkeling, and then a Mama's Fish House is the famous restaurant in Maui that we did for dinner that day. That is the day I would relive over and over.
It's true. Vacations.
Yeah, actually, when I think about it again, it would be New Year's Eve, 1975, going to 1976. First time I saw Springsteen. New Year's Eve. Oh, well, hold on. New Year's Eve party at my house while I'm at the concert. So my friends are running the house. We had a snowstorm. One of my best friends lost his virginity in my bed. So there's a lot of things.
That's a crazy day. Heather, you have follow-up questions?
No questions. Just
and it was not the girl. It wasn't his girlfriend either. She had to go home because of the snowstorm.
Little rebound action.
Oh, yeah.
To quote Jim Valvano, that's a heck of a day.
That's a heck of a day.
I had one more very quick.
Go ahead.
Lisa brought donuts for John's birthday this week. What is your go-to donut rapid fire?
Boston cream.
The Long John.
Cinnamon roll count?
Yeah.
Cinnamon roll, baby.
Cinnamon roll's great.
I like a glazed donut, but the chocolate on top.
Chocolate glaze.
Oh, the soft, sprinkles. Doughy, but then sprinkles
they
are fine.
They
take
don't
them or
make,
leave them.
The favorite donut I had as a kid was, they called sprinkles Jimmy's in Philly.
Yeah.
So it was Dunkin' Donut. It was a chocolate Jimmy donut. It was just with Jimmy's all over the, yeah. It was great. They don't make them anymore. Hmm. But yes, Boston cream.
And that is the cookie jar. It's 97.1. Ticket text reacting to the cookie jar. We're going to get into kind of an overarching Detroit sports conversation here in a minute. Cade Cunningham's an all-star. Red Wings are red hot. Then we got the Tigers. Who needs to buy the most? Get to that. Some ticket texters. Where's Jansen when you need him? Heather said her favorite was a Long John.
Yeah. That's what they're called, right? They're like cream-filled donuts.
Yeah.
They're long. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Stoney, what was this story about your friend losing their virginity in your bed?
My friend, we had a party and at my house, and he and some lady needed a place to do it, and it was my bed.
And you were not there?
I was in my house, okay. But I wasn't in the bedroom.
Was there like a moment where like, hey, you can? Was like permission, or does this just happen?
That I don't remember. I don't think there was permission asked, but I don't care.
Okay.
I didn't care.
Chef or trainer, I often said the first thing I would do if I won the lottery was eat good food all the time. So I would hire the chef just after I'd hire the lawyer, Ron in Ann Arbor. texters with their thoughts on the straws. Men shouldn't drink out of a straw.
I disagree, especially like when you're driving.
Yeah, if you're
driving, you have a soda, a pop, or whatever. You know, if it's not a can or a bottle.
How do you drink like a smoothie or a shake? Or I guess men aren't allowed to drink those too, or what?
I guess by his rules.
I don't know. How about a man does what he wants and doesn't care what other people think about him?
Yeah, exactly.
This one says anything is an acceptable breakfast. My gut doesn't know what time it is.
That's a great point. That is a very good point.
Heather, normally you get slammed on these.
Okay.
This one says you're the coolest mom ever.
Awesome. Great. For what?
For the ice cream.
Yeah. What's wrong with ice cream? mean, I'd say don't have it every day, probably, but I think it's fine.
Yeah. Removing the cliche and thinking sports related, removing all the cliche days, you know, like weddings and
right. Humans,
and thinking sports related, this ticket texter says it has to be Palm Sunday 2019. They moved up the Masters final due to weather. I avoided all TVs and phones and tape delayed until after church, watched the final round with friends eating Augusta National food, drinking beer, and getting to see Tiger's final major.
Pretty cool.
What a day.
Pretty cool.
Heather, you were saying maybe you should have considered more your travel.
Well, yeah, now that you brought up the honeymoon, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm forgetting all about these epic vacations I've been on. But I was thinking about wanting to spend a day more with friends and family, relive those days, than just a vacation where it's just Colin and I, which
were great. You think I was selfish
great.
To pick my honeymoon?
That's no, not at all. I kind of forgot about all the travel I've done.
What are some of the best places you've been?
Switzerland is my favorite. Had some amazing, sweet hikes in Switzerland, and I would love to relive those. I mean, I've been all over. Austria, Germany. I mean, just
Iceland.
National parks. Iceland, yes. Costa Rica. Mexico.
Yeah, my travel's basically been limited to like the Caribbean and Mexico. I did go to London for a week or school trip when I was in high school, and I went to Israel for a week.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never been to Paris or any of those places, and I always say it's time to do it.
It is.
Yeah.
Late.
I'm on the back nine.
Get them scheduled.
By the way, somebody on Twitter wanted to know, who is that friend, Stoney? Wojo? No, I didn't know Wojo when I was in high school.
Kind of feels like you've known him forever, though.
Yeah, pretty much.
Late entry for the cookie jar. You buy a painting at a garage sale for $50. You find out it's a Van Gogh for $15 million. Do you go back to the homeowner and give them any money? Thanks, Mark in a car. What do you think?
Yeah, why not give him a...
How much?
Because
I know you're all going to say yes, but how much?
Couple foul.
So you got $15 million. You go, hey, here's $2,000.
Whatever.
I mean, anything's better than nothing for them.
Yeah. Finder's fee.
Yeah, finder's fee. Yeah, okay. I'm cool with that number.
Yeah.
Heather, more or less?
I mean...
Less? $50 was enough?
Am I the only one that would be like, no, I wouldn't?
Well, but you're the person that says if you buy someone a lottery ticket, you should give them a cut of it.
Yeah, but that's like somebody you know. Like, I don't know the person who owns this painting, whose house I just bought this at, and they're the ones getting rid of it. They're selling it to me. It wasn't a gift. I don't know.
So they're just a sucker is what
they
are.
But bringing up the lottery thing, if the place who sells the lottery ticket gets a small percentage from the lottery
that's
commission
true.
When they sell a big prize, why
that's
shouldn't
true.
That guy or lady who owned the Van Gogh?
Well, the answer is because they're an idiot, apparently, because they were sitting on a gold mine this
that's
whole time.
That's true, too.
They had their chance.
And would Heather put that painting in a museum?
Nope.
I display it on my wall, gosh darn it.
I still can't figure out how pieces of art... And this is, you can say the same thing with sports memorabilia are worth what they're worth. I've been to art museums and a lot of places, and I just stare and say, okay, it's nice. Let's move on to the next one. And these people just sit there and just, I know there's a lot of history. I mean, if I ever go to the Louvre, I believe that's where Mona Lisa is in the Louvre. Is that correct? I don't know.
I believe it.
I don't think I'd sit there and stare at it for an hour.
Yeah, confession, I'm the same way. We've done some museums and we've traveled to different cities.
Yeah.
And maybe it's lost on me. Yeah, maybe I'm a simpleton.
Give me, either an art museum or like Museum of Natural History. Those
yeah.
I go to.
Oh, I like the history stuff.
Yeah, like in New York. Remember, what was the movie that Robin Williams was in?
Night at the Museum?
Yeah. Okay, there we go. One and two, okay? So those type of museums, I'm cool. Like the DIA has history and they have, art, right?
Yeah. Jason in Detroit, you want to weigh in before we hit top of the hour? Good morning.
Hello?
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
We got you.
Yeah. Sorry.
Okay.
I'd say no way I'm giving them money. Road to Hell is paved with good intentions because they're going to call an attorney, and the next thing you know, it's going to cost you tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars in legal fees, and just ride off into the sunset with your $15 million. Be done.
So let sleeping dogs lie. Don't let them know what they gave up, because then, well, I didn't mean to sell that to you. You actually stole it from me, and now we end up in some sort of court battle.
Yeah, totally different situation if you're buying your, you know, if your friend is buying you a lottery ticket, throw a bone, that's good faith. Totally different situation.
I understand that, but I still disagree. I think most people are really good people and would not take on the court.
Right here, apparently. Awful human being.
And by the way, Stoney, apparently the Mona Lisa is very anticlimactic when you see it. It's actually very small.
Oh, yeah, I heard that too.
Really?
Yeah, it's like not this like gigantic, like, you know, canvas.
But her eyes will follow you. So that's
cool. You've
heard
that, right?
Yeah. Okay.
All right. After the update, we're going to talk about everything going on in Detroit sports right now. You have Cade Cunningham as an all-star. The clock is ticking. He's on a max build around him. You have the Red Wings, who have won four in a row. It's more than a coaching bump. They are pushing to end this playoff drought. And you have the Tigers, who are still circling on Alex Bregman. Who needs to buy the most among all the teams in the city of Detroit? We'll get to that next. 97.1.